Let's read together Psalms 115 and 116. In Psalm 115, we have a great contrast between lifeless idols and our living Lord. And in Psalm 116, we have a great expression of love and worship of our gracious God. Let's begin by reading the first 8 verses of Psalm 115. Psalm 115, beginning with verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. Let's begin our study of Psalm 115 with some background notes. As you can see, neither Psalm 115 nor Psalm 116 has a title. So we don't know the author or occasion of either psalm. But most students of the Psalms believe both of these Psalms are post-exilic. That is, they were written after the Jews returned from their Babylonian captivity. In Psalm 115, which is a congregational song, it seems that Israel is now cured of their idolatry, which was one of the good results that took place during their 70 years of captivity in Babylon. And in Psalm 116, which is a personal psalm of worship, allusions to earlier psalms and certain late Hebrew grammatical forms seem to indicate that Psalm 116 is also post-exilic. Now, we mentioned in our last talk that Psalms 113 through 118 were sung in connection with a Passover meal. Psalm 113 and Psalm 114 were sung before the meal, and Psalms 115 through 118 were sung after the meal. So again, as we study these psalms, think of the Lord and his disciples singing these psalms at the last Passover, an institution of the Lord's Supper. Again, we mention Matthew chapter 26 and verse 30, which says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Matthew chapter 26, verse 30. That brings us then to our doctrinal point for Psalm 115. Senseless idols are no match for the living Lord. Senseless idols are no match for the living Lord. If this psalm is post-exilic, the point of verses 1 and 2 is that the pagan nations could no longer ridicule Israel about their silent God who had let them go into captivity. Verse 1, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory. Because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? God had spoken in power and brought them back home to Jerusalem. And the glory was all the Lord's. Israel did not escape from Babylon or fight their way out of Babylon. No, God had moved the heart of pagan Persian King Cyrus to send his people home. Because God in heaven is all-powerful and sovereign. Verse 3. But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. The gods of the surrounding pagan nations did not have this power. Their idols were lifeless and senseless and man-made. Verse 4. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They couldn't speak. They couldn't see. They couldn't hear. They couldn't smell. They couldn't feel. They were still and silent, verses 5 through 7, and powerless, just like those who trusted in them. Verse 8, those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. In verses 9 through 15, we see how much better it is to trust in the living Lord who helps his people. And protects his people, and blesses his people. Not just the priests who served the Lord, but every individual who feared the Lord. Let's read these verses, verses 9 through 15. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Verses 9 through 15. So who do you want to trust? Dead idols or the living Lord? Senseless idols are no match for the living Lord. Practical application for Psalm 115. Pray while the sun shines. Pray while the sun shines. Verses 16 through 18. Now you've heard the expression, make hay while the sun shines, right? It means work and be productive and make the most of the situation while you have the time and opportunity to do so. That seems to be the point of verses 16 through 18 in reference to praising the Lord while you are alive. Let's read verses 16 through 18. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Now, the point of these verses is not that people cease to exist when they die, or that believers don't praise the Lord in the next life. No, that's not the point. The point is that after you die, you no longer have the opportunity to publicly praise the Lord in your present life on this earth. So pray while the sun shines. Let's continue reading the first four verses of Psalm 116. Psalm 116, beginning with verse 1. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Let's consider a couple of background notes for Psalm 116. We mentioned that in Psalm 116, we have a great expression of love and worship for our God of grace. In this psalm, the anonymous author thanks the Lord for delivering him from imminent death and giving him life. We can see that this psalm is prophetic in two ways. It is certainly prophetic of what the godly remnant of restored Israel will sing in the future when they are delivered through the tribulation period to live and reign with Christ in his earthly millennial kingdom. And Psalm 116 is also prophetic in its messianic implications. The Lord can be seen speaking here in joy and gladness after his resurrection. He was not delivered from death, but out of death through resurrection. Imagine our Lord's emotions as he sang this psalm, Psalm 116, with his disciples after the last Passover, as he was about to go to the cross. That brings us to our doctrinal point for Psalm 116. Worship should be a way of life for the believer. Worship should be a way of life for the believer. In verses 1 through 4, the verses that we just read, we see that the psalmist is in distress and sorrow and facing death, and yet he is able to pray and worship. I trust that we could all do the same as we're facing death. In verses 5 through 11, the psalmist praises the Lord for preserving his life. Let's read these verses. Psalm 116, beginning now with verse 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. Even though others had told the psalmist that he would die, verse 11, he trusted the Lord to save his life in the land of the living, and God graciously answered his prayer. Again, we can imagine how encouraging this psalm was to our Lord as he sang it with his disciples, knowing that he would be raised from death to the land of the living after he had suffered death on the cross. In verses 12 through 14, the psalmist is determined to publicly worship the Lord for all that God has done for him. Let's read these verses. Psalm 116, beginning now with verse 12. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord, now in the presence of all his people. The cup of salvation in verse 13 is probably figurative for the psalmist's physical salvation. But it is significant that the third cup in the Passover was called the cup of salvation and raised when they sang Psalm 116. Verse 15 at first may seem out of context in view of the fact that up to this point in the psalmist is thanking the Lord for deliverance from death. And also in the verses following to the end of the psalmist is determined to publicly thank the Lord and pay his vows to the Lord at the temple in Jerusalem, all in association with the fact that the Lord delivered him from death. So what's the connection with verse 15 anyway? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The point is that because the death of a believer is significant and not by chance, then if the Lord does deliver you from death, he has a good reason why he wants you to keep on living and serving him. Illustration. That was my conclusion when I went through successful heart bypass surgery a few years ago. I guess the Lord still had work for me to do. Worship should be a way of life for the believer. Now what about practical application from Psalm 115? Don't worry about your death. Don't worry about your death. Now most Christians will say that they are not afraid to die because they know it is a transition to heaven. As the Apostle Paul indicated, it will be absent from the body, present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. But many Christians worry about the way they will die. They are not afraid to die, but they are afraid of a painful death or a shameful death because of a debilitating disease, for example. Listen, don't worry about your death. Verse 15 of our psalm says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. If you are a believer and your death is significant to the Lord, do you think the way you die is left up to chance? Of course not. The Lord knows the when and the where and the how, and it couldn't be any better from his perspective, even if pain is involved. Because your death is precious and significant and special to him. So don't worry about your death.